I just want to thank Pastor Wesley for an opportunity to stand here today. And I want to thank all of you. I know with everything that happened on Wednesday, some people don't want to hear thoughts and prayers. But all of your thoughts and prayers that I received during the time with my mom, I am greatly appreciative. I got a lot of cards and emails, and I haven't been able to respond, but just to know that you were there for me, I just greatly appreciate it. With that being said, there is a word today. And as you get your Bibles or your apps ready, we're going to the New Testament. We're going to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 16. And I'm going to ask all that are able to stand to your feet. John 16, starting at verse 6, and we're going to skip a little bit. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming where I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I come forth from God. I come forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are plainly speaking and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because my Father is with me. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. As you take your seat, for the time that is ours tonight, the title is A Tale as Old as Time. A Tale as Old as Time. As a Philly girl, I grew up loving football. I say this proudly tonight. I love the EA. G-L-E-S, Eagles. I also love the Sixers, the Phillies, even the Flyers. I'll even watch hockey if Philly's involved. It didn't help that I had no sisters growing up, just a brother and a bunch of guy brothers. So when my mom came to introduce me to the princesses and all these fairy tales, I really wasn't feeling them. I wasn't feeling Snow White. And it's just not fair, because right now the little girls, they have girls like Arya Stark. How come we didn't have no Arya Starks when we were growing up? How come we didn't have no Katniss, no Mockingjay when we were growing up? We had Rapunzel. I knew that wasn't for me. Let me get this straight. I've been growing my hair my whole life, and now you want me to take all this hair, put it out this window, let it get into the dirt, and then you gonna climb up my hair with your grimy hands. I'm a black woman, don't touch my hair. I mean, you don't have no beanstalk that you can come get me. Ain't no flying magic carpets in this story, but you want to touch my hair? No, I don't think so. So these princesses, they weren't for me, except for one. There was one who was a little saucy. She was a little spicy, and that was Belle. I have to admit, Beauty and Beast and the Beast is one of my all-time favorite movies. I'm gonna be honest. I still watch it like once a month. I like Belle because all she wanted to do was read her books. She was educated. Education was important to her. She didn't just want to marry and be silly like a lot of the other girls in the town. She just wanted to read and sing her little songs. And then I liked her because when she met the Beast, she was a little feisty. She wasn't afraid of him. And I'm not saying her hand was like this, but I could just imagine her saying, "What you not gonna do is..." She would have been a Philly girl. She would have been an Eagles fan. And so I love that story. Once I fell in love with her, I fell in love with the story. Because it's such a beautiful story. And just as beautiful is the music. The music in the Beauty and the Beast is some of the best music that I've heard in the soundtrack. My favorite song is from whence I stole this sermon title tonight, Tale as Old as Time. If you've heard those words, you know that it goes a little something like tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme. And then later on it says, as certain as the sun. If you just think about that for a second, that love is a tale as old as time, that as certain as the sun is gonna come up, there will be love in this world. And that's just such a beautiful message and such a beautiful story. But as we're looking at the story, I realized that even though that love was there, it wasn't smooth sailing. It wasn't an easy passage. There was trouble as well. See, the choir already confirmed that I picked the right summer because there is trouble in the story as well. And just as certain as the sun is love is as certain as the sun in trouble. Just as love is a tale as old as time, so is tribulation. We see it in the biblical account from Adam to Eve to Sarah to Abraham, Moses, Deborah, Hannah, Esther, Naomi, Ruth, Mary, Elizabeth. Every story, there is some trouble. And so in our text today, we essentially see Jesus with this in mind, giving the disciples a pep talk, that this is a four-chapter conversation that we're kind of looking at the end of, and he's telling them that I'm telling you all this because it's gonna be tribulation, that you're going to have trouble, you're going to have pressure, there's going to be bad days, there's going to be stress, there's going to be oppression. And I know that that doesn't fit the name it and claim it narrative. I know that it doesn't fit that Christianity is sunshine all the time, but the word of the day tonight is that in this life, there will be tribulation. Now, I want you to notice who Jesus is talking to when he's saying this. He's not talking to some people that he doesn't know. He's not talking to a crowd that's coming to see him. He's talking to those who are closest to him. And that's a word today because people act like if you're close to God, you won't see trouble. Just because you come to church 3.5 times a week doesn't mean you're not gonna see some trouble. And I point that out because there are those who will make you feel bad about what you're going through as if you're not praying enough. They'll turn your situation around and make it seem like you're going through what you're going through because you're not Christian enough. They'll blame a nightclub shooting on you because of your lifestyle. But no. It says that in this life, regardless of who you are, regardless of who you love, regardless of your gender or your birthday, that there will be tribulation. So what does he say? What does he say to them? He tells them they're gonna put you out of the synagogue. He also says they're gonna try and kill you in my honor, in my name. And I said, what, Lord, they're going to try to kill me in your name? And what do you mean by that? But then I thought about what was going on today. And we know about people attacking people in God's name. We know about people killing those who look different or love different in God's name. We know about people demeaning those of color in God's name. We know about the misogyny that happens in God's name. So I know God is talking. We can see that here, that people will try and oppress you and kill you in God's name. But he tells them, they're going to try and kill you. They're going to put you out of church. And he tells them that he's going to have to go. He's foreshadowing his death, and he's letting them know about the trying times they would have to come, they would have that await them. And this four-chapter conversation is a reminder that even though trouble, like love, is a tale as old as time, when it comes, God's going to talk you through it. Jesus is talking them through this. And there's about four themes that I can get from this conversation. Can I give them to you tonight? And then we can go eat dinner. The first one is, God speaks just so that you can have peace. He's saying, listen, I'm only telling you this so that when things go wrong, when things go south, when it gets rough, when you don't feel like going to church, when the news is bad, when you lose the election, when they pass immoral tax laws, when all of this happens, be at peace. And I just thought that was amazing, because we've already seen Jesus speak to change the weather in a storm. We've already seen him speak to raise a dead for a widow, for a father, for his own friends. We've seen him speak to heal 8-long ailments. But this time, the only purpose of his speech is just for you to have the benefit of peace. Because God could save us without talking to us. God could change the situation without communicating with us. But he speaks to us just so we can feel a little better, just so we can get some sleep at night, just so our hearts won't be so heavy. And I'm so glad for a God who speaks just so we can be at peace. This helps me, because whatever we're going through, we can just be at peace. It hurts right now to see those teenagers killed, but we can be at peace. We don't know how we're going to make it out of this, but we can be at peace. The decision might not be in our favor, but we can be at peace. You don't know what the doctor is going to say next week, but you can be at peace. We don't know when this mess might going to be over, but you can be at peace, because the tribulation is promised, but the peace is offered. So he tells you that there's going to be tribulation, but then he offers you his peace. So this peace is a choice, so that whatever you're going through, that you have the opportunity to be at peace no matter what. And this peace is not just a peace within. It's the Greek word eirene, and it means a global peace, a harmony peace. And that's a good word for what we're going through right now. Because even if I don't agree with the person next to me, I can still be at peace with them. Even if they don't look like me, I can still be at peace with them. And I'm glad for my peace. And maybe you feel like you don't hear God speaking. Maybe what you're going through is so bad that you just don't feel it right now. But when you get there, why don't you just open up your Bible? Just read from the Bible for a little peace. Go to Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Go a little back in John 14. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus speaks, God speaks just so we can be at peace. The second thing that we get from this conversation between Jesus and his disciples is don't have sorrow over separation. Don't have sorrow over separation. Jesus tells them he has to leave, and they become sad. It says, because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. And I know from personal experience that separation can cause some sorrowfulness. That separation goes hand in hand with grief. Knowing that he had to go, but he says, nevertheless, my departure is for your benefit. And Jesus is saying, sometimes separation is a good thing for you. And I don't know what or who or how you may have been separated from something tonight, but it just may be for your benefit. I know you're upset because they left you, but nevertheless, it's for your benefit. You didn't want that contract to end, but nevertheless, it's for your benefit. I know that it hurts, but nevertheless, it's for your benefit. Nevertheless, be of good comfort. Nevertheless, take courage. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, I have to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. And I'm not going to stay on this point too much, but there's some people or some things that might need to go from your life tonight so that something else can come. There's some things that might have to go so something else can come. Don't have sorrow over separation. But he also says don't have sorrow because all separation is not permanent. He says, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And I gotta be honest, because I needed every bit of that verse. As many of you know, 7 weeks ago, my mom passed away, and I miss her. I'm sad all the time. But when Jesus told his disciples that he would see them again, it reminded me that December 30th will not be the last time that I see my mama. Soon and very soon, when this life is over, I'm gonna see her again. I know I'm not the only one who's grieving. I know I'm not the only one who's lost someone they love. You're gonna see your dad again. You're gonna see your cousin again. You're going to see my mom and pop up again, because some separation, although it's hard, is not permanent. Don't be sorry about the separation, because sometimes some things need to go for others to come, and because all separation is not permanent. But also, in verse 32, he says, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Even though you might be separated from people, you're never separated from God. Yeah. Sometimes your friends and your family, they want to be there for you, but they have their own mess going on. Sometimes you lose a loved one, or sometimes someone misses your call or your text, but you know what? God is never separated from you. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Not death, not sin, not principalities, nothing. So don't be sorrowful over separation, because you're never separated from God. Don't be sorry about the separation. And Jesus speaks just so that you can have peace. And thirdly, you have to trust through the process. Trust through the process. One of the phrases that I frequently hear, having been a graduate of Virginia Union and being a Sixers fan, is trust the process. But what we get here in this verse and these verses is that you have to trust in spite of the process, that you have to trust God through the process. The disciples could not fully comprehend what Jesus was trying to tell them. They didn't get all that he was saying or what he was about to do. He's telling them that he knows he's speaking in a language that they can't understand, and they're trying to grasp it. And they say, "Now we're sure that you know all things, and we believe." And he says to them, "Do you now believe?" He really wants to know if you trust me. Do you trust me through this tribulation? Do you trust me through this process? Do you believe what I'm telling you when I say it's gonna be okay? Even though I'm going to die, even though we're gonna be separated, even though it's going to hurt, do you now believe? Do you trust that it's gonna be okay? Do you trust what I'm saying is true? You just need to trust through this difficult time. You might not understand everything that he's saying. You might not understand why it has to be this way. But if you can trust God through all of it, don't just trust the process, trust God. Because the process changes, God does not. The process changes, but God does not. And finally, the disciples get it. They say, "Now that we know, we believe you." And at first, I was like, "What you mean, now that we know? You didn't know when he turned that water into wine? You didn't know when he healed all those sick people? I mean, like, seriously, dead people got up from the grave and walked. You didn't know then?" But I can't be mad at them, because sometimes you want to believe, but it's difficult. Sometimes you want to trust, but the process is too hard. Two weeks ago, I had the best weekend of my life. I went to the cold depths of Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was -6, and I witnessed the greatest thing I've ever seen with my own two eyes. Yes, I went to the Super Bowl. But I got to admit, when I was on the plane, when we got to the hotel, all of Saturday, I was really worried on the inside. On the outside, I was saying, "Fly, Eagles, fly, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3, yeah." Sang the song 80 times with random people I didn't know. But on the inside, I was like, "This is Tom Brady. They beat us the last time. This is Bill Belichick. I don't think we're gonna win this." And that was stressful, even though I was talking trash on Facebook, Marcus. It was stressful for me. Because I really didn't believe, even though I wanted to. But we won, and that's wonderful. And I DVR'd the game. And now that I've been home for 2 weeks, I've watched it about 6.5 times. And I realized something. Now that I know how it's gonna end, I'm not so stressed. Now that I've seen it, I get to enjoy it. Now that I know the kicker for the Patriots is gonna miss that ball, it feels real good. Now that I know Tom Brady's gonna drop that ball, but Nick Foles is gonna catch his, it feels real good to watch. Now that I know Zach Ertz is going to turn into a runner lunge and get that touchdown, and that Gronk is not going to catch it with 9 seconds left, it feels real good to watch. Now that I know, it feels good. Now that I know, I'm not so stressed. Now that I know, I believe. I'm not just talking to Eagles fans and Patriots haters. Now that we know how it's going to work out, we can trust him through the process. You see, we have a different vantage point than the disciples. We know that the cross didn't win. We know that death wasn't the end for Jesus. We've seen God heal. We've seen him bless. We know what he did the last time we had some tribulation. And now that we know, we can trust through the process. Whatever we go through, whatever the formation that's called, whatever the audible looks like, I trust the one who calls the plays. I trust the one who calls the plays. I trust God through the process now that I know. You gotta trust through the process. Don't be sorry about separation. Jesus speaks just so that we can have peace. And the last part that I get through this entire conversation, I think is the best part. We see Jesus offer peace. We see him introduce and talk about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We see him talk about joy. We see him show his compassion, but the best part is he guarantees the W. Jesus guarantees the victory. I don't really have much more to say than that Jesus guarantees the victory. But I told you about my favorite movie, Beauty and the Beast, and I'll tell you how it ends. I told you how much I love the music, and what's so ironic about the movie, it's on Netflix, you can go home and watch it, is that one of the other songs in the beginning, she's singing, they call it Belle, and it's when they're saying, bonjour, bonjour. It's such a great song. But she's saying that, oh, isn't it amazing? It's my favorite part you'll see. Here's when she meets Prince Charming, but she won't discover it's him till chapter 3. She's foreshadowing what's gonna happen in the story before in the beginning of the movie. The way that Jesus is foreshadowing his death in the middle of the book of John. And when we get to the end of the Beauty and the Beast, we see that finally one of the princesses gets to save the prince. We see how she saved him. The rose was about to run out. Only true love could break the curse. Only true love could stop him from dying. Only true love could stop the friends that lived in the house from dying. And we find out that she does love him, and love took the victory, that love saved him, that love saved his friends, that love had victory over death, that love got the win. We know another story about love that saves from death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For it was love that caused Jesus to die for me. It was love that caused Jesus to give his life for ours. It was love that made him take the walk to Calvary. It was love that let him do nothing while they hung him high and stretched him wide. It was love that let him hang his head and die. But I'm so glad that death didn't get the win that day. That's not how the story ends. Just as Jesus guarantees, he died. He died. Didn't he die, Pastor? But he rose again, and he got up. Oh, death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? And thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered liars. He conquered finances. He conquered cancer. He conquered tribulation. He conquered trouble. He conquered the world. And even though tribulation, like love, is a tale as old as time, love gets the win. Yeah.